27th, the Sunday after Trinity, is written in Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground that the Lord God had made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Gallium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? And of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for this 7th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." As for the text, there was a time when all was right with the world. The book of Genesis reveals this golden age in time. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. That living creature was placed in a garden, a lush, perfect home, teeming with life. diseases, no mutated forms, no fruitless vines, no need for fertilizer to enhance the dirt, and no thorns. Man did not even need to break sweat. The man was also given rights to every tree in the garden, filled with genetically rich and perfect fruits. Every tree. That is, except one. When you fast forward to the epistle text read for today, as the Holy Apostle writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning the consequences of the end of the only true golden age, which is called the fall of mankind, hard labor begins. Enmity with nature and the looming enemy of death itself. The language is obviously quite different. Look at the words that St. Paul uses. Limitations, slaves, impurity, lawlessness, and death. He speaks of fruit, but not the genetically rich and perfect fruits of paradise, but rather the fruit from the things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. You are not only hereditary participants in Adam's mortal sin. Your sinful selves are willing and eager providers of your own sins. As you confess through the Lutheran confessions, you sin much daily in thought, word, and deed. You gripe against God, against your neighbor, against parents, against those in authority over you, and even against people you've never met. You are despisers of God and murderers of men, adulterers and thieves and liars, if not in deed, then in thoughts, or sometimes words. Is it any wonder that the Holy Liturgy has you call yourselves poor, miserable sinners? Or do you not really think so? You live in a world of hard labor, weeds and thorns, of insects and disease, of predatory behavior, both animal and human. According to that old nature that resides in all of mankind on this side of glory, you always think you deserve more. You lash out at anyone who calls you to repentance, invariably defending yourselves as good and not needing all that much repentance. The truth of God's Holy Scripture, however, tells you otherwise. Dear friends, that word good regarding yourselves fell by the wayside when the prophecy, when the warning was fulfilled. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Indeed, dear friends, you shall surely die. That is your common lot in life. Your futures cannot be predicted as far as who will be successful and who will fail, who will love and who will be lonely, who will enjoy creature comforts and who will have little, who will live healthy lives and who will bear the cross of lifelong sickness. But each person is guaranteed one truth which always looms on the horizon. It is the unavoidable law of God. You shall surely die. According to the truth of God's word, there is not one of you here who deserves anything less. That's God's word. does not leave you in the grave. For that old Adam does not have the final say. But now, God, through St. Paul, assures you, but now, now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. What fruit might that be? The fruit that you get that leads to sanctification, which is holiness, that fruit is the crucified Christ's merits for you. His full atonement for your sins received by God created faith. The fruit of his wounds leads to holiness. His holiness, his righteousness imputed to you, that is, credited to you by faith alone, instead of bitter fruit of death from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you have been restored to eating the sweet fruit of the tree of life. Although the wages you have earned by your sins is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Instead of watching all the things that surround you decay because of living in a fallen world, God has wrapped around you the promise of Christ's righteousness through holy baptism, never to decay, never to change, always whole, always offering full righteousness, full holiness. That is what the funeral pall confesses as it is laid over a casket, confessing that the one underneath such a pall is a baptized Christian who is wrapped in the holiness of Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of true life. Instead of eating bread by the sweat of your brow, you are promised the very bread of life given without any merit of your own, the true body of the author of life, through whose blood you have the free gift of eternal life, all free and received, and God creates and sustains repentance and belief within you. In the gospel text, the Lord Jesus Christ confronts another reality of this broken, predatory, death-laden, sinful world. Scarcity. Hunger is a reality in this world. Much of what you do concerns staving off hunger, want, and poverty, mainly because all of them point to death. The abundance of Eden has been replaced by the scarcity of the fallen world. Oh, there may be enough to go around, but sinful mankind competes against one another for the daily bread that ultimately comes down to you from above like manna of old. But sadly, few seldom realize it. The miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 is so much greater than meets the eye. It isn't only that Jesus is God with the power over molecules, atoms, time, and space, but look at what he does with his power. He has mercy Jesus gives a foretaste of the abundance of what you do not deserve. A free gift from his hands, his nail-scarred hands. He blesses the bread, breaks it, and hands it to his ministers to distribute to the people. And they ate and were satisfied. There was no want, hunger, poverty, or need. In fact, there was no scarcity. There was abundance as this holy bread was multiplied according to Christ's word and work. Jesus reveals the truth of his word, which proclaims that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He is indeed revealing how the Lord provides in daily food that sustains the body. But more so, he is revealing that there is another source of sustenance which feeds unto eternity. What a glorious picture of the church. Though you yet struggle with scarcity in this sinful world and your flesh's never-ending desire of having enough, you have a foretaste of the next true golden age to come. Right here in this holy sanctuary, Jesus blesses and breaks, and as his ministers distribute to his people, scarcity is set aside yet again and again, week after week, year after year, pastor after pastor. There is something more than bread that temporarily feeds the body. God's word proclaims that your sins have been atoned for by the body and blood of Christ Jesus. Bread is now eaten, and wine is now consumed. And they are truly the body and blood of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of your sins by the power of God's everlasting, life-giving word. Though in this time and in this place you are brought to receive this abundance as a brief shining moment, it is truly an eternal moment as you look forward to the finishing of the kingdom with the eyes of faith, when all will be right again in the new world that is to come. That is the Lord's promise through his living and active word by which you truly live. That is your sure and certain hope, because it comes from his word of truth, his word which continually points you to Christ's atoning merits for you. The free gift in Christ Jesus your Lord is forgiveness, life, and salvation. By the grace of God, may you ever be receiving him who is the Alpha and the Omega. For as Christ is delivered to you, he delivers you through himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.